Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. We'll get to the news of the day right out of the gate. Number one, there has been a COVID-19 positive on the Penn State campus here. That was reported to us in an email about maybe 10 minutes ago. We got that. So it's the first one that's on campus here. Now, look, for the most part on campus, though, there's hardly anybody here. I mean, I work on campus, but I have not been on campus myself in, I haven't been on campus in 8 days, and I was only there for 2 hours, and that was it. For the most part, everybody else, I mean, my son-in-law works on campus, and he hasn't been in his office in 10 days. So there's really hardly anybody there. Now, who, you know, that's the other part. They never tell you who it is. I mean, no offense, wouldn't you like to know who it is? That way you know if you had any contact with them. That's, again, what we got. A case of COVID-19 has been confirmed on the University Park campus. So that's what we got. Okay. So we want to at least, we always tell you we want to pass along the news of the day on to you. Matt, what do you have, if anything?
So locally here today, we have one local business here in the area was given a warning by Milton State Troopers to comply with the governor's order to close all non-essential businesses that was given out on Friday, and then they had the issues starting out on yesterday morning at 8 a.m. So that was one of them was in the area. We don't know where it is or what the actual company is, but that is out there. A total of 27 were given warnings by troopers across the state. We're at 851 total cases across the state of Pennsylvania. That includes 3 in Montour County, and now we're up to 5 in Schuylkill County and 1 in Columbia County. You mentioned the one at Penn State just now. 7 deaths total. And then coming up later on tonight on the late day news roundup after we're done, we talked with CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger on the mark this morning, getting more ideas about how the stock market and the economy is going to be recovering from this. So that story is coming up too. And we just got this earlier. The chief Shikellamy teachers, which is the elementary school K through 5, they're doing a social distancing teacher love parade tomorrow at 12:30, where they're going to go through Sunbury and kind of wave to students and to see, say hi, see how they're doing. So that's a really nice little positive story that we'll have, too.
A couple of other communities have done that, where the teachers have gone out and the students have been out in the driveway waving at them with signs and so forth. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a similar thing. Yeah, so it's going to be really cool.
That's really cool. Stock market today, the close is still 45 minutes away, but it's up 9.7%. So it's up over 20,000 again. So we thought we'd pass that along to you. So, yeah, a confirmed case on campus. I think now in Center County, that does that make four or three?
I will have to check the map for Center County real quick. Let me see.
Yeah, take a quick look there because I think that makes it four here. Now, they've been saying it's the one was in the Mountain Indy Health System. That doesn't mean it's in Center County. So, I mean, that's why I'm wondering what the number happens to be. And, you know, he's taking a quick look at the map right now.
Let's see. Cases by county.
I know with the suit, I'd have to point out where Center County was. It's in the center of the state.
It's seven now in center.
Seven, okay.
Yeah.
Seven, okay. All right. So, seven here in this county. And you want the mortality rate to be zero. Okay, obviously, okay, so let's just, like, establish that right away. Like, any person is precious. Any death is devastating. And then you sit back and say, okay, well, let's talk about the numbers. All right, so you look at the, quote, the numbers. The part of this is testing. So, you know, we don't know what the test numbers look like, but based on the test numbers they have and confirmed cases and so forth, I believe the mortality rate is like, I believe it's less than South Korea's in terms of the percentage. Also, here's one that does bear watching. If you're trying to look for any positive anywhere, and it's been tough to look at any kind of positive to this point. I mean, the way everything's gone the last 10 days or so, finding any positive has been very difficult to do. And I know, again, some of this is incomplete data, but you might want to look at, believe it or not, of all places, Washington State, which has been one of the epicenters. It's been bad there. There's no... Yet it appears that there's been a leveling out there. Is that good news? I mean, on the surface, it sounds good. But, you know, again, we're looking for anything in that realm of any kind of positive and good news. First of all, everybody's been, I think so many people have been doing their part. They've been, you know, through tough times. They've been staying home. You know, the social distancing part, you know, people have taken it to heart. And it's making a difference. It's allowing us to have the possibility of getting out of this sooner rather than later. And we'll find out what sooner means. Got Kenny Albert today at 4:06. We'll talk with him. What else did we have on the agenda today? Because we actually have some stockpiled stuff. Every time we turn around, Matt's like, there's more stockpile.
That's exactly right. One addition for tomorrow, by the way, Larry Anderson will join us at 4:06 from the Phillies broadcast.
L.A., good.
Yeah.
And then James Franklin's meeting with the media tomorrow.
Correct.
So.
Via Zoom as well.
Yes, on Zoom. Yes. I'd never heard of Zoom until I started teaching. Right? Now I know all about Zoom. Well, I shouldn't say I know all about it. I know enough to get online and do the talk on job. I know that. I can do that. That's about where I am with Zoom. I mean, it's functional enough. I looked and saw all my students, and they saw me, and they heard me. We'll find out whether they heard the assignment or not. We'll find out in due time. But yeah, I think we have Greg Pickle today, correct?
Yes, we have him ready as well.
Yeah, Greg Pickle. Yeah. And then eventually we're going to get Neil Coolong on this week to talk about the Steelers. We got Patrick Walker later in the week from CBS Sports talking about some of the moves that have been made and also what the plans are for the NFL draft. We got that coming up. So, yeah, we got the guest list has been long. And, again, James Franklin will have his press conference tomorrow on Zoom. But, of course, Matt has the capability of recording Zoom, so we will have that for you tomorrow at some point after Larry Anderson. The Olympics officially have been postponed for a year. I know some people said, well, Canada said they're not going, Australia said they're not going. That's all well and good. But when the U.S. Track Federation and the U.S. Swimming and Diving Federation look at you and say, I'm not so sure we should do this, now you kind of perk up in the room and go, okay, what? What's this now? You don't think you can, no? Canada can't go. Well, okay. Yeah, we'll take that into consideration. Australia, no, they can't go. We'll take that into consideration. But when the U.S. Track and Field Federation and the Swimming and Diving Federation say, I'm not so sure we can do this, now you kind of perk up a little bit. So now we're going to, now that will then dovetail to the next decision that affects people locally about Penn State hosting the wrestling trials. Now, obviously, this decision was made today by, and announced today by the IOC and by Sunshiro Abe, the Premier of Japan. So they just announced it today. So the question is going to be, what do they want to do with the U.S. Olympic trials here? Dates ahead of time. Do you want to try and do it the same weekend? I don't know how far booked out the Jordan Center is anyway, but, Penn State should be hosting it. All right. We have Steve in State College. Steve, how are you today? It's great to hear from you. At least I hope I can hear him. No, I guess we don't have him online yet. Yeah, there we go. Hello, Steve. How are you, buddy? Great to have you with us. There he is. Hello, Steve. Third time was
the
charm.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. It's great to hear from you. How are you doing?
Very well. As well as can be said at this time.
Appreciate that, yes.
So I have a question for you. I know we're all looking for things to think about during this time, and a couple friends and I decided to make our own March Madness bracket with Penn State football buttons.
Okay.
So you know the Citizens Bank buttons they put out every Saturday?
Yes. Yes, I've seen them for 40-plus years of my life. Yes.
Yep, 46 years. So over 500 buttons. We bracketed out 64 buttons. We've seeded them in, the different regions, 16 per. And we're having people vote to determine what ultimately has been the best button of all time.
Oh, really? So what website can they go to see that?
So if they go on Twitter and follow Let's Talk Penn State, which is just Let's Talk Penn ST, the bracketology is all there, all the voting is there. We're in the second round right now, and we had a tie in the bracket yesterday, and we thought we need a voice that Penn State trusts to help us break a tie, and I was wondering if you would be willing to serve in that capacity for us.
If you want me to, I will. So let her rip.
Brilliant. So for the context for today, so today's votes, people are voting on Hawkward versus I Don't Think So. They're voting on All Hawk and No Action versus Miss Again. They're voting on Ghostbusters versus Big Mish Steak. And You Are the Weakest Cat versus Mild Cat. So it's a lot of fun to be had. But the tie that we need your help with is one of these two buttons. So the first one is Joe's our man, Hoosiers.
Okay.
Indiana Hoosiers button, 2002.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Versus Illinoisans from 1999.
Well, okay. Let's go. I'm going to go with Illinoisans because that means LeVar leaped over the line to get there and you were wearing the button that day.
Great call.
Even though 2002 was cool, because that's the day that Larry Johnson broke the Penn State record with 327 yards rushing.
Both great buttons, both great games.
But the LeVar leap.
We appreciate you breaking the tie.
The LeVar leap is so legendary, especially the fact that it was a Beaver Stadium button versus a road button. I'll go with that one.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate it. If we encounter any other ties throughout the process, voting's going to be happening this week and next week. We really appreciate it.
I am here for you. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having so much fun with Steve. Appreciate it. All right. Don't roll your eyes that I know which game it is, okay?
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah. The Larry Johnson game. Now, we know about the LeVar leap game against Illinois in 1999, which was phenomenal. All right. The Larry Johnson game was in Bloomington. And they were trying to get an indoor practice facility, Jerry DiNardo. And so he practiced on that field, on grass, every day. Not on a practice field, in the stadium. And they tore that thing to shreds. To the point where they had to put down sand to fill in the gaps on the field, and they painted it green. Larry Johnson broke Lydell Mitchell's single-season rushing record in that game, going over 1,544 yards for the season, and became the first and only Penn State running back to go over 300 yards rushing in a game, and he ended up with 327. And speaking of 27, that was the game time temperature. It's one of the coldest games because they were redoing the press box at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. And so they put Jack, me, Jeff Tarman, and Roger in a plywood box outside of the press box. So we had no heat. And I remember how sick Roger got sick from that. I remember that game like it was yesterday. All right. Next half hour, Greg Pickle. We'll talk a little bit about Penn State football recruiting. Also got Tyler Donahue later in the week from 24/7 Sports, among others, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And keep in mind, Sunbury Motors service department is tremendous. They do a great job at the Sunbury Motors Service Department. All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, we have Kenny Albert coming up in the next half hour. Larry Anderson is on the show tomorrow. James Franklin's press conference later in the show tomorrow as well. I think we're going to ticket 4:35 to do that. And with that, we bring in Greg Pickle joining us from PennLive.com. Greg, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Hey, guys. Good to be on with you. All is well here. Hoping the same for you and your family and all the listeners as well. But it's good to be on.
Well, appreciate having you on. All right. So this is recruiting unlike any other time that we've ever seen, Greg. So how is this being done and how is it being received in a time where everybody has to make changes?
Yeah, you know, I think the one positive for Penn State and every college football program is that even though it's unprecedented, what's going on right now, and to have a dead period at this time of year, it's not as if the dead period is something that these schools haven't gone through before. It's just really a repeat of what everyone just sat around and did in February with electronic communication and social media stuff and things like that. So it really doesn't change a whole lot, other than obviously everything's been changed in our world. But, you know, for Penn State and everybody else, I think the challenge now is probably striking a balance. When you know that a kid is not most likely, depending on where he's from, but most likely at this point at home on his phone and other devices all day long, his parents are probably working from home, maybe, you know, there's some sharing of devices and things like that. So you got to try and weigh all those things and figure out what's the right amount to contact the kid, what's not the right amount. I think that's one challenge. The other challenge that schools are going to run into too is just simply the fact that at some point, you know, these kids are going to maybe have online learning, and when are kids going to be doing schoolwork, and you don't want to bother them and upset their parents or anybody else. So I think it's a lot of reactiveness at this point in trying to figure out what's going on with each individual situation and then make a plan accordingly. But, you know, once the plan's in place, I think it's fairly straightforward what has to happen, just simply because of the fact that these schools have not only went through dead periods before, but in fact just did one in February. So I'm sure there's a lot of FaceTiming and video messaging and things of that nature, and plenty of social media stuff is going out as well. And it's all about trying to set up, you know, set up visits once they're allowed again, which right now the dead period runs until April 15th. You know, gut feeling would say that it'll probably get extended beyond that, but we'll just have to wait and see where the dust settles by that point in time.
Right, exactly. All right, so what about the player side of it? How much contact have you had with recruits over time, and how, you know, how has that gone in talking with them about how their life is going? Because obviously they've got uncertainty.
Yeah, it's interesting. You hear back from some of them more than maybe you would under normal circumstances, because as is the case with so many of us, you're kind of just sitting around with not a whole heck of a lot to do. So, I mean, the overall sort of feeling from a lot of these kids is they're just waiting and seeing what's going to happen, just like the rest of us, you know. Is it giving them some more time to maybe dive deeper on some of the schools they're looking at? Perhaps. But at the same time, so many recruiting battles are won and lost anymore by the official visits and by the on-campus contact and by the chance to go see a practice or go see a game or go meet with the coaches in person. Penn State especially is hurting in that regard right now, since they have so many new faces and kids were hoping to come up during spring practice to see them. Obviously, at this point, that's not going to happen. So, you know, I think that, you know, just like everything else, you know, you see a lot of top lists being released at this point because, again, guys don't have a whole heck of a lot else to do. So we've seen some pretty extensive top nines and top 12s, things of that nature. But Caleb Williams, the five-star quarterback out of Washington, D.C., number one quarterback according to the 247 Sports Composite, number five player overall. He put out his top five today. Penn State makes the cut there, along with Maryland, Oklahoma, LSU, and Clemson. So some good news there. Obviously, a lot of work left to be done. And, again, it'll all come down to when they can host these kids again. When are they allowed to have that opportunity? We just don't know the answer to that and so many other questions right now. But I think at this point, the coaches can be a resource to these kids and help in any way they can, while, of course, following the rules. And, you know, for the kids, it might be a chance to learn more about some of the schools they're looking at. But, you know, again, I think it's just such an interesting time, especially when you have, you know, Penn State recruits so many parts of the country, and, you know, different things are going on in different places right now, so that'll play a role in it too.
Les Miles, for example, at Kansas did a virtual junior day, I believe it was, and I think it started at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and they went through there was a long list of things that were occurring during the virtual junior day. The last one was being a tour of Lawrence. I think that was from 7 o'clock to 7:03. No, I'm just kidding. And, it's a different way of doing it. Have you heard of anybody else doing that besides Kansas doing a virtual junior day, for example?
Not yet, no. That's been one of the things I've been hoping to go back and read a little bit more about and see how that could be used by other schools. But, you know, I don't think there's any question that schools are trying to do things like that or do really anything to stay at the front of the kids' minds and be, you know, in communication with them. You look at James Franklin's Twitter account, he's been sending things out about meet the coaches and here's what you need to know about this guy and that guy, and sort of some facts and social media cards and graphics and helping that process. So the football account's been putting out Beaver Stadium hype videos and things of that nature. So, right, you know, the virtual junior day, if it was well received at Kansas, and I can't tell you one way or the other whether it was or not, but if it was, certainly it's a copycat industry in almost every sense, and that'll include everybody else trying to ramp these up too. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Penn State or some other schools decided to participate in that. And look, and at the end of the day, it's a good opportunity to, again, try and make the best of the situation. That's what everyone's trying to do at this point. Practice what the school says is okay, what the government says is okay in terms of not having in-person contact and everything like that. So, yeah, there'll be plenty more of that kind of stuff, I'm sure.
Who are the top targets? I mean, because there's going to be certain, you know, Penn State, of course, has already laid some groundwork for the 21 class. They've obviously laid groundwork for the 22 class. Who are some guys right away that jump off the page to you, Greg, that certainly get into that high priority area where you know that the competition is going to be stiff, but Penn State's put itself in a good spot?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of guys that fall into that category. You know, I think, again, I would start out with Caleb Williams. He's really a guy that is just so incredibly talented that if you land him, even though Penn State has plenty of good depth at quarterback and its program, you know, he's a game changer who could propel you to the next level. You know, when you look at the other side of the ball, Tony Grimes, a five-star corner out of Virginia, he's a kid that, you know, Ohio State, Clemson, anyone that's a who's who in college football wants him. A very talented, fluid player for his age. And I think he's a guy that, again, when you get him into a program, he can make an impact from day one. So, you know, the interesting thing about this year is the offensive line depth, especially in the Mid-Atlantic. And will Penn State be able to land Nolan Rucci, the five-star from Warwick? Obviously, he has very strong Penn State ties. Will that allow them to land him in the end? So that's one to watch. Landon Tangwall, the four-star out of Maryland. He's a guy who seemingly has been to Penn State 100 times, and will he decide to pull the trigger sooner rather than later? I'm sure Penn State would like that. He's down to 247 Sports says Notre Dame and Penn State. So, I mean, the gut reaction says that the Lions have the lead, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see if he decides to make some visits. I would be surprised still if they don't land him. Tristan Lee's a five-star offensive lineman, too. So, I mean, there are a lot of good targets out there. You know, there's a lot of hand-wringing going on that I see, Steve, on social media. Some people that have reached out to us, and, you know, they're worried about why Penn State only has two commitments. Of course, one's Liam Clifford, brother Sean. He's a receiver from Ohio. And then you have Nate Bruce, the Harrisburg offensive lineman, who, of course, decommitted for about 6 hours and then recommitted. So there's been a lot of concern about that. And, you know, my takeaway has always been that as long as you have your top targets on the board, there's no real reason to worry. Penn State has that right now. So is it ideal to have two recruits at this point in time? No. It's also not ideal to have as much coaching staff changeover as they did and then not be able to host kids on campus, but that's sort of just where we are in the world right now. So things are weaving out. The board looks good, and those are a few of the guys that I think top that list.
Let's start. Let's get to depth now. And the depth, I mean, in terms of the region. James Franklin came in first day, said, quote, let's dominate the state. And they've been able to get at 1.3 consecutive state players of the year, Miles Sanders, Lamont Wade, Micah Parsons. But then it really has become also dominate the region. You take that protractor and move it out 500 miles around State College. So what is the depth of the state in this particular year and then maybe even the 22? And what is in reality is the depth of the region within 500 miles of here?
Well, so, you know, Penn State's already missed a couple of the top players in Pennsylvania in this cycle. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyle McCord, two guys from Philly, running out of state, so they missed out on those two, and the same goes for Jeremiah Trotter. Those three guys are all heading out of state, and so, you know, you miss out on them, but now Rucci's your big fish here in Pennsylvania, along with Derek Davis, the safety linebacker out of the stomping ground. So Penn State will obviously be pushing very hard to try and put those top connections to work. 2022 is so-so at this point. I don't know if it'll be a banner year, but, you know, Pennsylvania always has a handful of kids at the top of the list. So we'll see how that all shakes out. Region-wise, it seems to be okay. You know, the one thing I think that's interesting is New Jersey has kind of almost fallen off the face of the earth as it relates to Penn State. They've got a couple kids out of there over the last few cycles, but they really haven't even been close to being involved with the top guys. That's sort of the case in this cycle, sort of not. But Maryland, Virginia, even West Virginia and Ohio, if you're willing to go that far, have some extremely talented players that Penn State has at least a foot in the door with, if not much more than that. So I like where things stand, and I also like how Penn State's really taken that national approach too. You know, it's something they tried to do when James Franklin first got here, but you need some success to really have it work. The Big Ten title in 2016 obviously was the the opening that they needed to really ramp that up. And then the more you have success and the more your coaches get out and about, we mentioned Terry Smith. He's known well in Texas. Jawan Sawyer has been a machine when it comes to recruiting Florida. And so I think they have a very nice complementary staff when it comes to having inroads at places outside of the Mid-Atlantic. Of course, they recruit the Mid-Atlantic just fine. And Phil Troutman, I think, is going to really be able to help their game there, especially with the offensive linemen. But, they've done a nice job of looking in and out of the region. It's not a bad cycle by any stretch of the imagination in PA, even though Penn State, like I said, missed out on three of those Philly kids who were headed elsewhere. And the Mid-Atlantic looks pretty good, too.
You know, it's been an interesting area. It's been New England. Penn State, you know, they may not have a bunch from New England, but they've been selective about who they've been able to get from New England. They've been helped there.
Yeah, no question about it. They've been able to go up there, and really that whole area, you know, there's obviously not a whole lot of talent up there, but when there has been guys, Penn State's been able to go find it. They've been into Massachusetts for some talent. You mentioned New England. So they have been able to sort of cultivate a very nice ability to land those kind of guys, and then, keep it in the northeast part of the state. If we move back to Pennsylvania, Lackawanna College, kind of the same thing. They may not have, 15 Division I FBS Power 5 guys every year, but they might have five, and if Penn State keeps getting two or three of them, they'll continue to obviously grow their talent that way as well. So, again, James Franklin said about a year ago now that they're never going to be a program that grows primarily through the transfer portal and the junior college ranks, but they're also not going to be opposed to getting help from those places if it makes sense. So they really haven't expanded, I don't think, their junior college funding outside of Lackawanna because they haven't had to. They got a couple of scholarships a year that they can use on kids that play there, and it's been so far so good.
Exactly. Also, what has Penn State's ability in the area of player development meant to them? Because obviously, if you're going to recruit a three-star, that three-star would love to be a four-star by the time it's over with. You recruit a four-star, they'd love to be a five-star by the time it's over with. They seem to have had that ability. When you've talked to players, what has the player development area meant when it comes to Penn State?
Oh, certainly quite a bit. I mean, you look at what they're able to show guys at a variety of positions, Running back obviously being a big one, but it's across the board. They've been able to showcase that even some of the guys who weren't the biggest stars before they came to Penn State have suddenly found their way to the NFL either as drafted guys or as preferred walk-ons. Undrafted free agents that found a way to stick in the NFL. So that's been a big part of it. When you're able to show guys, look, here's what we're able to do, here's our track record, it helps. And that's what, does have them behind the eight ball, though, unfortunately. It's kind of a catch-22 because some of these new guys have experienced, in the past, sending guys to the NFL. But kids want to see what you're doing on your new campus and how you're able to develop your new guys. And for the Phil Troutwines and Taylor Stubblefields and Kirk Shirakas, you can, same with John Scott Jr., you can show them what you did at your old place. You can show them the old players that were standouts. But so many guys want to see what you're going to do at your new job, maybe not as much about what you were doing at your old job. And this whole halt that we're in as a world right now as the coronavirus continues to spread means that Penn State got to wait even longer to be able to show that to kids. But ultimately, they'll be just fine. They'll be able to figure it out. James Franklin certainly has a plan. I believe, Steve, that this goes at the part of the binder right behind the Michigan State weather game in terms of preparation. Sure. So I'm sure they'll have a fine plan in mind.
Should life settle down, and I'm confident it will, but should life settle down, how important then does the Lash Bash become?
Oh, I mean, crucial. And it'll be interesting to see how the NCAA when large gatherings are allowed again. It'll be interesting to see if and how the NCAA will change the recruiting calendar. So, I mean, at this point in time, yes, we lost, about a month, maybe not a month, maybe probably darn close to a month of kids being able to come to campus, but coaches weren't allowed to go on the road right now anyway, and they're not able to, even under normal circumstances, until April 15th. So we're probably going to end up losing about a month and a half of the opportunity for kids to visit. So will that mean that when large gatherings are okay again, the NCAA maybe changes a summer dead period into a quiet period or into a contact period or into a evaluation period? I don't have the rule book in front of me, but, you know, the recruiting changes, the rule changes that we've seen, you know, kind of limited how you're able to do satellite camps and even on-campus camps. And so once you're allowed to do those again, you know, will they relax that rule a bit to add some more opportunities to see kids, since we, you know, we don't know how much time we're going to miss, you know, over the next few weeks or months here. So that's a lot of things they have to figure out. But if the Lash Bash does take place as it always has, I mean, it'll be vital. I mean, it's very possible to think that the majority of Penn State's commitments before the 2020 season starts could very well come from that event, as long as they're able to have it like they used to. So I think, you know, it's vital every year, and certainly this year, the way things are going, whenever they are able to have it, it'll take, you know, center stage for sure. The tough thing, of course, will be that, you know, in past years when things are a little bit, you know, more normal and spread out, you can kind of plan to make sure that your big day isn't the same day as many big schools. But now it might be a case where nearly every school has their big recruiting day or recruiting weekend at the same time, and you'll be fighting to get many of your top targets there and not somewhere else.
Greg, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Hope you continue to stay well to you and your family.
All right. You all too, Steve. T. Frank, have a good one, guys. Thanks a lot.
Greg. That is Greg Pickle joining us from PennLive.com. Coming up next half hour, Kenny Albert, and then tomorrow, Larry Anderson, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us on the show today, Kenny Albert, next half hour. I didn't realize Bob Buehner was actually in the building.
I'm here, but the suit cut my microphone off in the first segment, so I've been...
You know what? It's a jealousy thing, Bob.
It is, you know, Steve. There's no doubt about it.
You're getting more airtime than he is now. He doesn't like it.
He's very resentful that way, and I don't know why.
I was around him for years. I do know why. All right, so.
Hey, that was a really interesting thing. The Lash Bash that Greg Pickle and you talked about. When is that normally held, Steve?
Late July.
And what it sounds like we've heard from Greg and other people on the show is that the NCAA is going to have to revise all the recruiting rules and scheduling going forward.
I think they have to revise everything. But again, it's hard to sit there and say, let's revise it, when you don't know when everybody can get back to going again.
Yeah,
I was talking to Jack Ham today, and Jack said, "What do you think?" And I said, "You know, I said best case scenario. Let's just say best."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Say everybody can really kind of start to get back into a gear again. I don't know. Pick a time, May, whatever. All right." I said, I could picture the NCAA possibly saying, hey, look, everybody's allowed to have a two-week mini camp in June. Because nobody had spring practice.
Yeah, going to need that.
I mean, you look here, let's take here for example. You have a new offensive coordinator, a new offensive line coach, a new wide receiver coach, a new defensive line coach. Well, they sort of have to get to know who they're working with here. And, you know, doing that in a training camp is not easy.
Now,
usually I want to have some answers going into training camp.
Yes.
I mean, just a thought. I mean, these are just random thoughts from a very random mind.
Yes, it is.